Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to worship this morning as we gather to glorify and exalt our great God. Hopefully, each one of you has received a worship bulletin, and you can use that to follow along in our liturgy this morning. Also, inside that is a tan slip. We ask if you would fill that out. You can fold it up, drop it in the offering plate as that comes by later on in the service. And as always, there is a place for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have. A few announcements as we get started with our worship service this morning is we're still recruiting teachers for our fall quarter for our children's Sunday school. And if you have an interest in that, you can actually mark this tan slip and notify your interest in that, or you can contact Jamie Dalton with the information provided below. And we begin our summer study tonight for our middle school and high school students, and our summer study is going to meet every single Sunday evening in July from 6:30 until 8 p.m., and we have a middle school and a high school summer study. And then alongside of that, at least for the first and the third Sundays of July, Brian Waugh is going to be leading an adult Bible study. I believe he's just continuing on through 2 Corinthians. That meets over in the church office at the same exact time from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we do provide childcare for school-age children on those particular Sundays. So that'll be tonight and then in 2 weeks on the 20th of July. So do make note of that. And also, I want to call your attention to another ad in the bulletin about the Senior Covenant Group, which meets on Friday mornings from 10 a.m. to 11:30. And you can read the excerpt there. And if you have any interest or questions, you can contact Larry Dickey. And also, this Wednesday, we have our middle school and high school river float down the Rainbow River, and we've actually adjusted the time of our departure. The bulletin says that we're departing at 8 a.m. We're actually going to give you an extra half hour of sleep on that summer morning, and so we're not going to depart until 8:30. So do make note of that if you are signed up for that trip. We also wanted to give special thanks to our deacons who yesterday have weeded our playground. So it's weeds come up so quickly through there, and our deacons worked hard, and now it's a nice, great, clean, weed-free area for our kids to play. So much thanks to them. But for now, let's focus our attention on our great God. And if you have any electronic devices, we ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode so as not to distract anyone from what we've gathered here to do. And let's prepare our hearts to worship as we listen to the prelude. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 145. This is a responsive reading for you to follow along in your bulletins. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts.
They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on all your wonderful works. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Amen. I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing hymn number 30, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Would you pray with me? Father, we gather together this morning to glorify, exalt, and praise your wonderful name. We celebrate your abundant goodness, and we joyfully sing of your righteousness. Father, we ask that your favor would be upon us, and that you would be pleased with our worship. For we approach you this morning through Jesus Christ, the righteous, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God, both now and forever. Amen. Well, following along in your bulletins, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
We come to a time of confession, and so if you are able, we invite you to kneel before the Lord. Father God, you are merciful and you're full of unfailing love. Through Jesus, our King, you are the one who brings restoration and peace. And knowing this, why do we continually hold on to our sin, letting its lies and its unfulfilled promises saturate us with misery, brokenness, and emptiness? So in your great love, Father, we ask that you would help us to see our sin. Would you open our eyes? Would you give us broken and contrite hearts that we may confess and truly repent of our sins? So in this brief time of silence, would you receive our prayers of confession? And Father, in your mercy, we ask that you would hear us as we all pray together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and confess our many sins, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, hear the promise that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, it states, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." Amen. And our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 21. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and of the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you that Christ is Lord and King over the universe, and how much more so over our individual lives. And Father, we rejoice this day that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we would pray that you would be with our world. We pray that you would bring peace where there is war. We pray for the expansion of the gospel in countries that need to hear. Father, indeed, in our own country, there is so much evil. We pray that the gospel would penetrate hearts, and that, Lord, you would use Seminole Church and other churches who preach the gospel to make the good news plain in our nation and beyond. Father, we pray this morning for countries in crisis. We continue to remember the Ukraine, and we pray for Venezuela. Father, we pray for our church to fulfill its vision here in Tampa. We pray for our president and all the elected officials in Washington and throughout these United States. We pray that you would give wisdom way beyond the years of everyone who serves in public office, and help them, Lord, to serve according to your perfect will and your ways. Father, we pray for precious saints inside of our church and also friends and family members of church members. We remember Chip and Sarah Royer today, Lord, and we ask that you continue to be with them and Sarah's pregnancy. And Father, give us cause for rejoicing next January with a healthy new baby. Bless the Royers today, Lord. Father, we pray for Joe DeNito. We pray for Ron Quick. We pray for Alan Moberg and Christopher Waugh. We ask, Lord, that you would be with all these precious saints, that you would heal their bodies, that you would be with any special needs that they might have, that, Lord, you would address every need as you define it. And Father, we pray for other special saints in our church who will be moving and relocating. We pray for Duncan and Debbie Hoops. We pray for Judy Neshaw. We pray for Richard and Sarah Zach. Father, we ask that you would facilitate the sale of homes and all the details, Lord, that are involved in relocation. We pray for these special saints that you would bless them today and that you would make all of their plans work out according to your good and perfect will. Father, we also pray for Juanita Echevarria, Raquel Fernandez's mother, as she recovers from surgery. Father, give her grace and strength, heal her body. We pray for strength for Servi and Raquel as they seek to minister to the needs of an extended family member. Father, bless them this day. Father, we also pray for our missionaries. We pray for Scott and Kathy Craig, and we pray for Don and Judy Vanderplug. We pray for Dave and Paige Hawes. We pray for Jeff Lee and Joel DeVictoria. We pray for Steve Light. And Father, we also remember SIEATN, and we thank you this morning for Maureen Thompson and her work in Albania, the opportunity for her to minister to us in song in a few minutes. Father, bless her, and may you be blessed by her offering. Father, we continue to remember Alan Dulstall and Kim and Russ Dulstall. We pray for Whitney Harrell and Vicki Harrell, for Lenore Ball and Augustina Livesay, for Althea and Vic Vickers, and Stuart and Doris Hickerson. Father, be with all of these individuals and their various needs as you define them. And we pray that you would minister to them and that they would sense prayers offered on their behalf this morning. That, Lord, you would comfort them by your Holy Spirit in a real and meaningful way. Now, Lord, help us as we wait upon thee, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning and hear the word. I pray that you would minister to our hearts, that you would lift us up into the heavenlies and prepare us, Lord, for the remainder of the day and this week, that we might live for Christ. Be with us even now, Lord, as we close our prayer time, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I want to tell you just a little bit about the song I want to share with you. For 50 years, Albania was a communist country, and it was an official atheist state. So there There are translated songs of English hymns, or we sing Chris Tomlin and that kind of thing, but most of them are American songs that have been translated. And there are very few actual Albanian-written worship songs. And Dashuri Palkofi was one of the very first songs that was written by an Albanian for Albanians. And it sounds, if you've ever heard an Albanian folk song, it has a very strong feel of that type of music. So I hope you're blessed by this song. Thank you.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, beginning in chapter 7, verse 21, and reading through chapter 8, verse 6. And the Apostle Paul writes, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing hymn number 363, We Gather Together. Our offertory statement this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that we died with Christ. We have been made alive with him, and we have been raised with him. Father, you have given us all things, and therefore we give you thanks, and we praise you for your goodness. Therefore, as an act of worship and obedience, we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. We ask that you would use these gifts to your glory, to help the needy, to make disciples, and to expand your kingdom over the whole earth. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. Our fourth scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 20 through 30. Familiar and very beautiful words about and by our Lord Jesus. Matthew says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago, sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable, more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Verse 25, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.'" May God bless the reading of his word. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would take this eternal, inerrant, and infallible word of yours and make it real in our lives. Father, speak to our hearts of eternal things. We exercise confidence in your word, your word alone, energized by your Holy Spirit, that as Isaiah said, it might go forward and not return void, but accomplishing all those objectives for which you send it. Father, forgive the preacher, for his sins are many. We wish to see Jesus and him only. And we make our prayer in his matchless and peerless name. Amen. Some very interesting words by our Lord Jesus. I'd like us to concentrate for a few moments on these words this morning before we take the Lord's Supper. It's a simple passage that has three distinct features that I'd like to point out. Number one, there is a shocking condemnation by our Lord Jesus against cities because of a lack of repentance. And we see that in verses 20 through 24. And then our Lord turns from addressing the unrepentant cities to addressing the Father in prayer. And secondly, you'll notice in these verses a sovereign revelation in verses 25 through 27. And then finally, the gracious invitation offered by our Lord Jesus in verses 28 through 30 that is so well known to all of us. First of all, the shocking condemnation. You see this in verses 20 through 24. These are the Lord's words of denunciation or condemnation against three Jewish towns: Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. They were close together on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. And this is the area where a bulk of Jesus' mission had been focused. In fact, Capernaum was known as the home base of the ministry of our Lord Jesus. And yet, he offers a stinging and shocking condemnation. In fact, he says words that really take us by surprise, that it'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment for cities like Tyre and Sidon and Sodom than it will be for these three Jewish towns. Now, if you know anything about biblical history, you'll know that those three cities, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, are three very notoriously wicked cities. You can learn from Isaiah 23 and Ezekiel 26 through 28. They give the impression that these individuals who lived in these cities were proud, they were money hungry, and they were cruel to their neighbors. In fact, you can read all about it in Amos chapter 1, verse 9. The Tyrians were denounced for selling Israelites into slavery to the Edomites. These people were slave owners and slave traders against the Jews. In Joel chapter 3, the Phoenicians also sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem to the Greeks. And I don't have to tell you about Sodom. You read all about it in the book of Genesis, with the immorality and the perversion that went on in that city, and how the Lord judged that city. And so why is the Lord Jesus here pronouncing a woe, and that is to say a curse, upon these three Jewish towns? Well, it's very simple. The Lord Jesus performed miracles there. The Lord Jesus preached there, but there was no repentance. People did not turn and respond to the message. Why would the Lord pronounce a woe on these cities? I'll tell you why. It's simple. Because of the sin of presumption, presuming upon God's grace and God's mercy. These towns had every advantage in the world. Can you imagine hearing the Lord Jesus preach and teach? Can you imagine seeing the actual miracles that he performed? Maybe ask ourselves, how could we witness all of that and yet nothing happened? It's a reminder to us that the Lord is presenting here a contrast between ignorance and indifference. Those who lived in Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, they had no revelation, except the general revelation offered to them. They had no gospel, no miracles, no teaching of the Lord Jesus. They were evil beyond compare. And yet the Lord says it will be more tolerable for those places than it will be for these Jewish towns where absolutely nothing happened. You see, this is an indictment against the great sins of indifference and apathy. Whenever we hear the gospel message, whenever we hear the words of the Lord Jesus, they ought to do something inside of us. They ought to point to action. They ought to lead to conviction. We ought to respond to those words. The United States is a very difficult place to live. We are surrounded by the gospel. We're saturated by biblical things. We have the Bible available to us in many different languages. And yet the Lord reminds us here that the greatest sin is not stripping humanity of its rights or atrocities against others. The greatest sin is indifference and unbelief. Listen, people don't go to hell because they steal primarily, or because they lie, or because they commit adultery, or engage in other acts of immorality. People end up perishing because they don't believe. They don't believe. And folks, a theoretical atheism is just as bad as a practical atheism. And vice versa. We'd never call ourselves atheists. But when we hear the Word of God over and over again and the gospel message on a regular basis, and we don't respond by repentance and faith, then we're in just as bad a situation as these three Jewish towns. Notice that Jesus expected His miracles alone to cause people to repent. How much more is preaching of the good news, which these towns enjoyed? And the assertion shows us with what revulsion the Lord views those who were more highly privileged but had remained impenitent. I think about the words in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus said, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, all the more will be demanded." Have you responded to the gospel? You know, some of us have heard the gospel since childhood, but we've never made a public profession of faith. It's as if, by virtue of our parents or our grandparents, we're part of the church. But we have never negotiated the narrow doorway. We've never said on our own, "I want to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to repent of my sins. I want to experience His interaction in my heart and life." You see, if you haven't done that, that is the very thing the Lord is putting His finger on. This apathetic indifference. And may I say tenderly to you today, please, please, sit up and take notice. I remember when we were in New Orleans, way back and even afterwards, every time a hurricane got ready to come, and how many people across the United States would say, "Well, you know, that city's really going to get it. I mean, we're talking about Sin City here. We're talking about one of the worst places on the planet and in the United States. And boy, they're going to get whacked." And when Hurricane Katrina hit, how many people stepped back smug saying they deserved it? Isn't it like the Lord Jesus to clarify our thinking? Our perspective is so askew at times. And nowhere more clearly than this. As the Lord said in Revelation, "I would rather you be hot, I would rather you be cold, but don't you dare be lukewarm. Don't you sit and soak up the gospel and not act on it." There is no place for that kind of neutrality with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must act. Reject Him. Refuse Him. Walk away from Him. But don't name His name unless you know Him, unless you seek to walk with Him and repent of your sin and cry out to Him. As I said last time, why are the Lord's words so severe? It's not because He wants to be unkind. It's that He wants to shake us from our apathy and indifference. And He wants us to get our focus squarely upon Him so that we don't perish like these well-meaning but greatly mistaken Jewish towns. Be careful the next time you point to a person, a people group, or a city and thinking that they're going to really get it. Because the fact is that what the Lord is upset with the most is not so much the evil that we do. It's the good and the response that we don't do. The indifference and the apathy at His message and the gospel. Now, the Lord gives a shocking condemnation. We ought to pay attention to it. But notice, secondly, a sovereign revelation. It's as if He turns away from these cities and He turns toward heaven in verse 25. Jesus begins to address the Father with some very stunning words. You know, in the previous portion, there is a beautiful contrast between the sin of indifference and the sin of ignorance. Well, here we have a contrast between divine sovereignty and human inability. The sovereign choice of Almighty God is certainly a mystery, but a certain reality too, as it is clearly taught in Scripture. I don't know how anyone can read the Bible explicitly, implicitly, and not see what the Lord Jesus is saying. I praise you, Father, verse 25, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. You see, the Father is not obligated to save any. He's not obligated to give us any revelation. And Satan led Adam and Eve to fall in the garden. And the angels were swept out of heaven. There was no gospel offered to them. Here's the Lord Jesus saying, Father, you have purposefully, willfully hidden this from some and revealed it to others. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to sit up and take notice. That makes me want to beg and plead, God, make these things known to me. In fact, if you didn't say it enough, look at verse 26. Yes, Father, for this was good, your good pleasure. Verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. That is heavy. This God who condemns indifference and condemns unbelief and a lack of repentance says very plainly here that you cannot repent, you cannot believe unless I make these truths known to you, unless I open the eyes of your heart. The initiative clearly rests with the Father, who reveals the meaning of Jesus' ministry in verses 25 and 26, and with the Son of God reveals the Father to those whom He chooses in verse 27. And so the point is, the reality of divine revelation should lead us to hunger and to thirst and to beg God to make Himself real to us. He's not obliged to save. What else would you want in life? I mean, if God is real, the gospel is true, I'd want to experience that. If heaven and hell are real and there is a judgment, I'd like to enter into that. Here is the Lord Jesus saying, the initiative rests with the Father. And there is something very mysterious about that. I can't explain it. Most people have a theology floating in their head that says, God voted for me, the devil voted against me, and I cast the deciding vote. That is a lie and a fiction. You do exercise faith and repentance. I do exercise faith and repentance. But the only reason I do is because a holy and a sovereign God said, come here. Come here. And unless He does that, I will perish. That's why Paul said there's no room for boasting. If we are in Christ Jesus, the only thing we have to boast in is the cross. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, it's not a confession that I was smart enough or sharp enough to come into the kingdom to understand these things. No, it is a confession that God demonstrated mercy and grace upon me. And whatever else happens in my life in terms of my circumstances, I am truly blessed just to know Him. See, it ought to lead to thankfulness, ladies and gentlemen. We go through life thinking about what we don't have and what we do have. We go through life looking at our neighbor and even fellow Christians saying, why doesn't God bless me like that? Or why do I have this aggravation in my life, but they don't have that? And Christ would say, if you believe and your eyes have been opened to the gospel, you have everything in the world. You have been blessed beyond measure. And the sovereign Lord of the universe has no obligation to you or anyone else. Be thankful that you believe, that you're not perishing, It'll change your entire perspective about everything else in this life. This also points to the importance of humility. Pride keeps people out of heaven, because pride is what leads to unbelief. I don't know the words that are quoted more often from the Lord Jesus than, "Those who are exalted will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." If you don't know the Lord Jesus, it's time to beg. It's time to cry out. It's time to say, "Lord, make yourself real to me. I don't want to sit on a pew indifferent for the rest of my life. I don't want to go through the motions wearing the badge Christian and yet living a double life. I don't want to do that. I want the genuine article. I don't want to fabricate a lie." Where there's a shocking condemnation, a sovereign revelation, secondly, and then finally, a gracious invitation. What beautiful words in verses 28 through 29. You see how the Lord Jesus sets the stage? He gives us the condemnation. This is where sinners stand. And then he gives us this word about sovereign revelation, that sinners will stand there and perish unless a holy and a sovereign God invites us into his presence. The only thing left is the invitation. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." You'll notice Jesus Christ doesn't send us somewhere or to someone else. He invites us to himself. He's the only one in human history that's ever done that. I learned this past week of the debacle at the beginning of the month at the tag agency. Computers were down, and it's the first of the month, and people couldn't get their tag. And ordinarily, what took 15 minutes sometimes took 3 hours. I've been through that before. You don't know what misery is until you try to get a car tag in Louisiana. You go there and you show up, and one person tells you to bring these 5 different items. And so you stand in line for 2 hours, get out of line, go get those items, stand in line 2 more hours, and then they tell you need this. And so you go home and you get that item and come back and stand in line again. And then they tell you you need something else. And by this time, you're ready to hang yourself. You're so aggravated, you know. The Lord Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't send us someplace else. He doesn't say, "Go get this other article." He welcomes us and says, "Come to me." And again, part of the beauty of Christianity is that Christ is real and alive and resurrected, and he invites us to come to himself. Moreover, he invites us to transfer our heaviness and receive his lightness. What a marvelous picture. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." How could that be? Well, it's simple. It's simple, and yet it's so opposed to the way that we think. The Lord Jesus is saying, "Come and submit to me. Come and obey me. Come and put your life underneath me, and you will find freedom. You'll find acceptance. You'll find peace and life." Now, Jesus' yoke, by contrast, is easy. Not because his call to discipleship is less demanding, but because he gives us his good Holy Spirit, who indwells our hearts and enables us to keep on submitting, to keep on obeying, throughout a lifetime. Where else would you go? As the Lord Jesus told his disciples when everyone went away from him in John 6, "Will you go away also?" And the disciples said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I love the words of Bishop J.C. Ryle in this section. He says, quote, "He bears the keys," speaking of Jesus. "To him we must go for admission into heaven. He is the door. Through him we must enter. He is the good shepherd. We must hear his voice and follow him if we would not perish. He is the great physician. We must apply to him if we would be healed of the plague of sin. He is the bread of life. We must feed on him if we would have our soul satisfied. He is the light of life. We must walk with him if we would not wander in the darkness. He is the fountain of life. We must wash in his blood if we would be cleansed and made ready for the great day of judgment. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like to have your conscience cleansed? Wouldn't you like the freedom of the yoke of Christ? In contrast to the yoke of worry and anxiety and guilt that so many human beings carry around. And let me invite you this morning to come. Accept this invitation. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Make a public profession of faith. If you do not belong to a church, unite with one. Don't sit on the rolls of Christ's church as a non-communicant all your life. Exercise the covenant responsibilities yourself. Take of the Lord's Supper. Enjoy his presence. Feast on him. Come to him. As it says in another place in the Gospels, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these beautiful and marvelous words of the Lord Jesus. They speak of his majesty, his authority, his compassion, and his love. Lord, I pray this morning that we would respond appropriately. Those who have never been converted, that we would repent of our sins and turn to Christ, trust him fully, completely. Father, for the rest of us, I pray that we would repent of our sins afresh and anew and get back in the race, get back up and dust off, find forgiveness, cleansing of guilt, and run the race with endurance. Father, do all of your holy will in all of our lives, as every one of us responds to this gracious invitation that you've offered through the Lord Jesus. We make our prayer in his wonderful name. Amen. Let's sing a hymn of preparation as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper. Number 246, Man of Sorrows, What a Name. And we'll sing verses 1 through 3 only. Let's stand together. Please be seated. Let me read the words of institution to you this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Our Lord Jesus Christ set aside bread and wine, common ordinary elements, to speak of something very uncommon and very much beyond the physical realm. And that is, whenever we take the bread and the wine in the name of the Lord Jesus at this time in the worship of his church, we commune with him, not carnally, but spiritually, in a very special and meaningful way. And so I would invite you to come to the table this morning. If you've made public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and you're a member in good standing of some evangelical church where the gospel is preached, you are invited to this table. If you've never done those things, then do not come to the table. Do not take the elements, for you would be eating, drinking judgment to yourself if you did. Let's pray together. Father, having fenced the table now, we ask that you would bless this time of rich fellowship and give us grace as we partake. Help us, Lord, to know you better, to be more intimate with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, as has been done in his name, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Our elders will distribute the bread, and then we will all partake together. Well, for those who repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, on the cross, he received all of the covenant curses against sin, so that by faith in him, we would not. Take and eat. And after the same manner, after the supper, our Savior also took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you." And our elders will distribute the cup, and then we'll all partake together. And as a reminder, wine is served in the outer ring of the tray, and grape juice is served in all the inner rings. Well, Jesus Christ shed his blood so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Father God, we do thank you for the good gifts that we receive through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you that through both word and sacrament, you have given us your Son, who is the true bread from heaven and the cup of eternal salvation. Thank you for these very visible and tangible signs and seals of your promise. Thank you, Father, for loving us so greatly. We ask that you would strengthen us in your service, that our daily words and actions and thoughts may show forth our thanks and praise. And we ask all of this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand as we sing the final two verses of our closing hymn, Man of Sorrows, What a Name. And as we sing this, our elders will come by and collect the empty cups. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning and invite you to remain with us for a time of fellowship and coffee and snacks, which is located in the Snyder Building directly behind the sanctuary, and then for Bible study for all ages beginning at 10:45. For now, receive the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.